Welcome to the Parent Compass on Smart Social Podcast, where we explore parenting themes to help our kids navigate the tween and teen years in our competitive and uncertain world. We are your hosts, Cindy Muchnick and Jen Curtis. Today, we are thrilled to host fellow moms, co-founders, and editors of Your Teen magazine platform, Susan Borison and Stephanie Silverman. Welcome, ladies.
And your teen, this comes right from your site, but it says, parenting is lonely when kids get older and the playgroups fade away. The glossy magazines usually focus on young kids, and we may find ourselves looking for new sources of answers to our parenting questions and concerns. More than ever, we want to feel like we're not alone. Good friends Stephanie Silverman and Susan Borison saw that, like themselves, other parents of teenagers were hungry for expert advice and non-judgmental support. In 2007, they founded Your Teen Media to meet this need. They have a website, online magazine, newsletters, social media, parent groups, videos, workshops, and loads of content. You are the experts. So thanks for being with us today, ladies. We're happy
thanks
to
for having
you. We thought maybe you could just take us back to 2007 and how you two met and just the inception of this idea. How long did it take to get your teen up and running, and how many people are on your team now?
Well, I'll start with when I had the idea. So I have five kids. My oldest was in high school, and I had formerly practiced law for a short time when after my kids were, I think my oldest was born in law school. And then for a few years I worked part-time, and then I was home with my kids. I had the good fortune to make that decision. And as they were getting older, I would always say to my husband, where's the parents magazine for parents of teenagers? And it would just like kind of baffle me. Like, I don't want to read a book. I'd go to the bookstore and there'd be like 500 pages on a topic that I wanted like a little blurb about, you know? And so I just always had this feeling like we're missing something in here. It's not a cumulative skill set. I am lost in this parenting space right now, and I don't know where to turn. So I would bring it up periodically. And then as my oldest daughter hit high school, I thought, you know, it's really time to think about getting out of their space. I think the biggest motivator was that they were done with me, you know, being so readily available. And so I said to my husband, I don't want to go back to law and I don't know what to do. And he's like, why don't you do that parenting magazine? And I was like, no, I wanted someone else to do it. I don't know the first thing about this. Anyway, it kind of nagged at me. Like, you know, I kind of like the idea of having it. Maybe other people like the idea of having it. And so I jumped in, started talking to other moms about like, what could this look like? Do we all have the same need? Is this a universal sense of isolation and not enough information? And it turned out to be very true that this was universal. We all hit a point where our kids came out of latency in the development and turned into someone else. And the same approach in your house just didn't work anymore. And so I remember that I was on a trip to California and I was sitting with my cousin. I remember where I was sitting and I told her I was going to do this. And I was like, I want to take it back. Cause I, you know, as soon as you say it, it's like you put it out into the universe. You know, I think for a lot of us, that's a commitment. Like, I'm not saying that lightly and then coming home and going, changed my mind. So I came home and I, you know, really collected other moms, of which Stephanie and I had met doing a leadership program together, and she jumped in and then we soon became partners. And it's just been this journey ever since of really like our mission is so clear to us. Things have changed because the world changes so rapidly, but our mission has always been to give parents a sense that there's a better way to do it, different than their parents, if that's what they're looking for, in a non-judgmental environment, and to create that playgroup that we all were nourished by when our kids were little. Some, even if it's virtual, to create a space where we feel like we don't have to present perfection. We can come somewhere and say, it's just not working. This is going on with my kid. In the same way that we used to do it about sleep, which is so no one's fault. But all of a sudden, adolescence, it becomes your fault. And we're ashamed to say something. So we have set that goal. It's been 14 years. And, you know, we get these emails from people that makes us teary, because you know, we've done what we set out to do.
Stephanie, I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about what Susan touched on, which is that it has been 14 years and the world has changed in 14 years. How has your vision of the Your Teen Media platform changed over time as parenting has changed and as the world has changed?
Yeah, I think about that a lot, actually. And it's funny, we were on a panel. Sue and I were on a panel, oh boy, maybe a couple years ago in pandemic time. It was like 1,000 years ago. And the question was, what are you surprised by? And, you know, Sue touched on this, one of the feelings we had as we were developing this was that parenting, it was so judgy. And we kept saying, the word we used at the beginning was preachy. We don't want to be preachy. We can't be preachy. Parents have so much coming at them. And that was in 2007, 2008, when we launched the publication, the first publication. And so we thought parenting looked judgmental then, preachy then. So that's before social media. And so I remember saying on this panel, like, who knew? This must have been 10 years after that. And we're like, oh my God, who knew the world was about to get so judgmental and so preachy and, you know, and that there really was no safe space. So it was interesting because we couldn't have foreseen that. We were already feeling it. We were feeling it in the teenage years. I think if you talk to any mom who had a 3 or 4 year old, they would say they feel it already. Whereas maybe we felt we could see it a little or feel little things, we were seeing it more in the teen years. So I think for us, like Sue said, we've stayed so true to our mission. And I was just saying this to a client this morning, that every time we feel that there's a pain point, you know, we always hear from parents, there's two things we always hear. And the first one is, I feel like you're living in my head, which is really creepy, but comforting. And then the other one is, or they'll say, oh, I feel like you're living in my house. And again, creepy, comforting, you can pick one, but it's this idea that we can anticipate, you know, we can see what's going to happen year after year. And so for us, it's all about how do we take, I always say it's restoring parents, particularly moms, shoulders to their rightful position. They come in, you know, at that read, that event podcast, and their shoulders are way up. And I always picture us putting our hands on their shoulders and just kind of slowly like telling them, you know what, it's going to be okay. And we're going to give you the tools and it's really going to be okay.
That's incredibly soothing, that feeling and that image, because even as Jen and I have discovered your site, and albeit a little bit later than I wish I had, because I'm, you know, on my fourth child who's now 14. So I have two out of the teenage years, which you even address, you know, some of that empty nester in there. But I, you know, have been so pleased with the kind of breadth of everything that you cover. I mean, it's unbelievable the writers that you pull together and the concepts and how you stay current with, you know, or one step ahead of everything that's kind of going on and being thrown at us in terms of parenting. So I've found it to be, even as someone who's worked with teens professionally for almost 20 years and parenting teens of my own, I've found it to be a really great, just constant resource. If there's a question I have, I can usually find an answer. And if not, ask one of your experts to help me. So thank you for that. I guess my next question would be, you know, kind of maybe just picking out what you might think right now, what is critical for parents today to know about parenting teens? What might be your favorite or most useful tip that our listeners could maybe take away?
I'll tell you one of the tools that is deeply, vastly overlooked are teachers. And so we hear about this story of the middle school girl and how life is so difficult. And when my third daughter entered middle school, I started to notice that, gee, the same thing happens to all three girls. And I said to the teacher, like, can you predict what's going to happen? And she said, well, it's the same every year. And I'm like, well, why doesn't anyone tell us? And so what came to be from that conversation was the what to expect when you're expecting is this notion that we appreciate, right? That we can be armored before something happens and anticipate who do we want to be in that story? And it's not foolproof. And we'll be caught off guard and we'll react in a way like our parents did and we promised not to, or, you know, we didn't want to get angry, but we did because we're human and flawed. But going into it and knowing that your daughter's friendship heart is going to be broken because middle school requires you to test out new friendships. It's part of development and not personal to your daughter and only your daughter. It alleviates so much of the pain that parents and moms in particular feel when their daughters go to middle school. So, you know, one of the things we talk about a lot is like, can we arm parents with information so that they don't have a first child. Okay. Because we all do get so much better with practice. And yet the same information exists before you even hit there. And so, you know, some of it is apprenticeship and you're going to learn it on the job. But really, some of it, you can be prepared in advance in the same way we read those books when we were pregnant.
It's interesting how gender comes into play there, Susan, because I have three sons before I had that middle school daughter. And I wasn't equipped for how different it truly was. I'd heard about it. I had worked with female teenagers. But until you have your own and your heart is pulled and your heart is broken and stabbed. Exactly. So yeah, it is interesting. The gender, the birth order, the amount of kids you've had and how you parent differently as you move through this journey.
So, I'm going to add one more if I can to what Sue said, is that benefits into having four kids or more than one is that parenting is so forgiving and you get so many chances to mess up. And I think that, you know, that was something that I had to be told a few times, but I have to say it's kind of a gift because when you mess up, they get to see your humanity. And so I bet Sue's heard this a million times. I have two boys and then a girl, Cynthia. And so my daughter is famous for saying to me, "Why are you yelling at me when you're mad at him?" Like one of the boys for something. Hey, blah, 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 blah. And it takes me, you know, an hour or overnight. And I wake up the next day. I'm like, she is so spot on. Because it had nothing to do with her. And so I get to go back with my tail between my legs and be like, "You know what, honey? You are so right. I totally took that out on you. That was not right. You saw it before I saw it. And I'm really sorry. Like, I didn't mean it. I owe you a big apology. Not fair." And so like, you get one, they get to be right, which they love being right. And two, you get to show them that you mess up too. And I think the other piece of that is the apologize. My kids have noticed time and time again, they will talk about, all three of them will say, "She just can't apologize," or "He just can't apologize." And so I think learning to apologize is, I hope, a good relationship skill.
You guys talked earlier about the judginess of parents. And I think that's so true. And we see that in our line of work, and it gets pretty ugly in college admission. I'm wondering, what is your advice for the parent who feels like they constantly have to be competitive or they constantly have to keep up? Do you have something that you can say to that parent?
I guess what I would say is, you know, really sit back and think alone with your own thoughts about why that matters to you. Because college is such an interesting space. And when you're on the other side of it, you can see that there's so many ways. I have four kids out of college and one kid in college. And, you know, I can see that they, not all of them got their first choice or even their second choice. And they all got out of college what they put into it. And Ron Lieber has this new book about college. And I wish I could retrieve the name right now, but I can't. I think it actually comes out next week. And it's an amazing book. And one of the lines in there is that people will say, "Well, where will my kid get the best education?" And this is not his quote. He quotes someone else when he says, "You aren't given a best education. You take a best education." So when we can step away from what looks like, you know, like vanity, like what are you going to put on the back of your car when we used to do that? And what are you going to put on Facebook, more importantly, today? When you can get past that and recognize like what in this story really works for your kid, the day after admissions, nobody cares anymore. That your kid decides where they're going and you move on. So if you can kind of really, it's a struggle within ourselves as parents, like how much bragging rights do we need to feel like we have done well as parents? And where you go to college, I mean, you're going to learn that. Like some kids really race to the finish line with the college choices they have and the opportunities they get. And it doesn't make their life better.
Ladies, thank you for that. It's funny, just as a thought, when you were saying that, Susan, I was thinking about 100 years ago when we were having our list of baby names. What are you going to name your baby? Which does seem like a million years ago. And with our first child, you know, you share that name and then you get all this feedback. It's almost like college admissions, but back at that time. And it's better to just, the baby's born, the name is given, and everyone's going to love it who wants to and who doesn't. Kind of like you apply to college, doesn't matter where. And at the end, there's going to be one that's the one you go to. So I'm sort of making that funny connection, which I never thought of.
I want to add two experiences that we shouldn't do. Okay. So, and I learned them the hard way. One is when your kid goes to take their driver's test, suggest that they don't tell the whole school, because that is a painful moment to show up and everybody is waiting to celebrate and you didn't potentially pass the first time. It might have been a story in my house. The second thing I would say is when letters are coming, well, what do they get today? They get an email. When emails are coming from colleges, don't make big plans with other families and other friends around that time, because even if your kid is going to be just fine, which you know they are, there is a rejection involved. And so you don't have to make it a public rejection. You could like lay down low for a little bit, get your courage up and get over the injury of it, and then go out and live your life. But it doesn't have to be like right at the moment.
Back in the day, Susan, in California, when I was of age to get my license, I have told my children that I did not pass my written test the first time, those fill in the bubbles. I think, you know, you need an 87 and I got an 84. And in those days, they would let you retake it right away. Like you could look over what you missed and retake while you had that short term memory still going. So it did take me 2 tries. And
Are you a good driver? That's what we want to know. Are you a good driver?
I don't even think that's the question. Do you have a license?
Because I have a license, although my poor 16-year-old was supposed to get his on Monday and the DMV is, you know, indefinitely closed for those behind the wheel tests with COVID. So he's anxiously waiting. But anyway, why don't we wrap up with maybe you guys telling us a couple things to answer this question, and then maybe a little bit more specifically about how we can find you. This question would be, what makes your teen, you know, more special or unique in this space of parenting teen websites? What do you feel is kind of your special difference? Or, you know, I know you mentioned your mission statement, but is there something that kind of stands out that would make our listeners want to come to you even more?
I'll take the first stab on this one. I would say that the team we have, that most of which have been with us from the beginning, are just unbelievable. They're unbelievably talented. They're unbelievably dedicated. They're in it to see your teen be that same resource. Like they share our vision is what I would say. And the other piece is something that I'm remembering back to our first editor, Beth, and she was saying that, and this goes back to, oh my God, like 2009, that every article she would read from us, she would start the article thinking, oh, this is going to be an article. Oh, it's about, I know the topic is bullying and I've read everything. What could they possibly say that's fresh, that's new? And it would always have a different angle, a different, you know, something fresh that you had not read before. And that goes back to our team. I mean, they're just incredibly insightful. And I think we will step back, and I credit my business partner, Sue, with this because she leads our editorial team, and ask those tough questions and not settle for, well, it's good. It's good enough. That is not a phrase I think has been uttered. I could search every email, every piece of the words good and enough have never come together in your teen media's platforms is what I would say.
Wow.
I would add to that if you are a parent who wants to change, because I mean, some people are really very satisfied and all the power to you, this is not a requirement. But if you are looking for a different way about something small or something big, you can find it at your teen. And we had somebody, we do daily Your Teen TV at 10:30 every morning on Facebook, and it's Eastern time. And we've been having guests on who are people who are very engaged with our social media platforms or just communicate with us in other ways. And so, yes, it's today, Tuesday. Yeah, today is what year? So this woman was on and we were talking about dating, and she said, you know, I didn't know where to turn for advice. And I felt like a lot of my friends were just much more lenient than I wanted to be. And then another group of friends were like, my kid is never dating. And I just didn't think that was really reality. Like they're going to sneak it and then I won't be part of it. And so she said, you know, one of my favorite resources was Your Teen, because I felt like it put my relationship with my kid first. And so I think that's one of the perspectives we always take. Like there's a lot of chatter on social media, on our site as well, which is, you know, your house, your rules. You're the parent, you get to make the decisions. And we just don't approach parenting teenagers that way. It is a conversation. You get to decide. It's not like you're relinquishing your power as the parent, but you get to also see the insights that you'll hear from your kid when you're curious and you ask. So that's always kind of looming for us. Bring the kid into the conversation And at the end, you can say, I hear what you're saying, but I still feel like we have to do X, Y, or Z. It builds a relationship. That's how we build relationships.
How can our listeners find you?
Oh, sorry, lady. Today is a fan of your site. It does genuinely feel, I don't mean to sound like a cliche, it does just feel accessible. It feels real. It feels not glammed up, and that, you know, moms are just kind of showing up to read what you have to say without makeup, without, you know, getting dressed up. I don't know. There's just something that feels very real is, I guess, my word about it. Right. So I'm in my t-shirt too. So anyway, but yeah, Jen was just asking, sorry about that. We kind of got a little cut off. How do we find you? How do we follow you? Where can we connect with your team?
Yeah. So you can go to our website, yourteenmeg.com. And if you want to sign up for our newsletters, that is /sign-up.
And you can find our podcast, Your Team with Sue and Steph, on all of the same places you're going to find this.
And we will include those in the episode notes as well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
It was great to have both of you ladies. Thank you for your insights, and everybody go out there and sign up for the Your Teen newsletter. And if you haven't discovered the site, you are in for a wonderful treat.
And we're excited because we're going to have the two of you on next week on our podcast. So, yeah.
We'll turn the tables. That'll be fun. Yeah. Thanks so much, ladies.